God. Every blow you throw, I'm going to throw a blow back. I might not can't hit you like you're hitting me, but I'm going to hit you with my hallelujah. I'm going to hit you with my glory to God. I'm going to hit you with my thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Oh. And when I don't know what to say, I'll say, oh. Oh, come on, come on. You got to learn how to moan. You got to learn how to moan, because see, when you moan, the devil don't know what you're saying. You got to say, oh. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Because this is how I fight. That in the midst of me giving birth, we're just going to go on with it real quick. In the midst of me giving birth, we're going to let you dance in a moment. We're going to let you do what you're going to do. But in the midst of giving birth, sometimes after you've given birth, the afterbirth is worse than the regular birth. Hallelujah. You done spent hours. You done pushed that baby out. And then they say, oh, you got to come on one more time. And you're saying, what in the world is this? I thought I had my only one baby. But see, when the afterbirth comes. See, the afterbirth is that stuff that was given nutrients unto the baby while the baby was in the womb. It's all those things. Those things that was feeding the baby. Those things that was protecting the baby. Those things that had the baby covered. But see, after the baby is gone, after the baby is out, those things are no longer needed. Hallelujah. So the doctor says, come on, you got to push this afterbirth out. Because if the afterbirth stays, it's going to kill you. Some of us, we birthed on last night, and we got afterbirth that we need to get out. What are you saying, afterbirth? What's the afterbirth? That's your emotions. That's your mindset. That's the things you've been telling yourself while you was in this spiritual birthing. Because, you know, when we get in spiritual birthing, we begin to say, I can't do this, Lord. This is too hard, God. Why did you call me to it? Why did you put this in me? God, I didn't ask for this. I don't want to do this, God. I don't understand, God. This is hurt. It hurts. It hurts. The afterbirth hurts. But in order for you to live, you got to give birth to the afterbirth. You got to get in there and cut out everything that's no longer useful. You got to get in there and get rid of everything that's killing the baby. You got to get in there and get rid of everything that's killing you. Because see, now you are needed more than you were ever needed before. You were used to carry the baby. You were used to cover and protect the baby. You didn't do anything. All you did was eat and give it blood to help it grow. You had no hand in how your baby grew. Truth be told, we had no hand in it. You had no hand in how God was preparing you for what he was calling you to. You didn't know you was going to have to go through all that you've gone through. You didn't know that you were going to have that many dark days. You didn't know you were going to have that many lonely days. You didn't know that people were going to walk away from you when you began to share your vision. You didn't know people was going to tell you that's not going to work when you begin to say what God told you. But all along, you were just the protector of what God had put inside of you. But now that the baby has come, you got to push the afterbirth out. You got to push out the negativity. You got to push out who wasn't there. You got to push out who talked about you. You got to push out who walked away from you. You got to push out who said you were nothing and nobody. You got to push it out. Why? Because the Lord told us in Ezekiel, he said, when I walked past you, I saw you in your blood. You had given birth and you were about to die in your own blood. You were about to die because you were still wrapped up in the afterbirth. But he said, I saw you and I walked by you and I said, live. He said, I walked by you and I said, live. Oh, yeah, yeah. Somebody, you are struggling. What do you say? You are in the midst of what God has called you. You have birthed it out and you are trying to live in that thing, but that thing is about to kill you. Why? Because you're drowning in the afterbirth. The afterbirth has tried to take over your body. It's trying to pull out of you. It's trying to kill. It's trying to find the connection that it used to have. But it's gone. And you're trying to make it work, but God said, no, I need you to push it out. Get rid of the afterbirth. He said, live. Well, how am I going to live, preacher? You got to get somebody to come by and not only say live, but they got to wash you off. They got to wash you off. When a woman gives birth in the natural, yeah, I know you might not want to hear it, but the nurses come along and they have to clean her off. Why? Because she's not able to clean her own self off at that point. So she got to have somebody to come and wash her off. They say, just lay here, I got you. And they begin to wash. And see, it's not I'm washing your face, but I'm washing the intimate place. I'm washing the place where you gave birth. I'm washing the place that's hidden. I'm washing the place that right now you can't reach. Because after we give birth, there's a place I can't reach. And I need for the Lord to get in me and wash me out. I've pushed out the afterbirth. I've cut loose every string. Come on, you got to see, you got to cut loose every string. Everything that was attached to you while you were waiting and while you gave birth, now it's time to cut it off. There are some things you need to tie a knot in and cut it off. You got to cut the placenta off. That connection that you had to the baby while you were feeding, the baby was feeding off of you. But now once the baby comes out, he don't need your placenta. He don't need that connection no more. Once you have birthed out, what are you saying? I'm not telling you to disconnect from God. But I'm telling you to disconnect from what you allowed to feed you and to grow your baby before you birthed it out. Because see, once you birth it out, it needs something else. It needs some more food. It needs something different. It will now no longer feed off of your blood. It will no longer feed off of what you're eating. You've got to take your baby and you've got to feed your baby something else. What are you saying, preacher? When you give birth to what God has put in you, when you have pushed it out and you have brought it to the Lord and you've allowed God to clean your baby and to clean you, let him clean you. Let him clean you. The altar is the place of cleansing. The altar is the place of release. The altar is the place where I cut loose and all those, I cut it all loose. So that the words that God spoke when he told me to live, now I can live. Because truth be told, if we don't cut it off, we will hear the word live, but we won't be able to comprehend it. We won't be able to grasp it because God, I got all this stuff. all over me. And I can't live. See, that's why you got to clean the baby off. You got to clean the birth off of the baby. Babies don't come out like they do on TV, all clean and pretty. They come out looking like they're almost 3 months anyway. They come out looking like, oh, that's a newborn, Lord Jesus. But a real baby, when the real baby is born, they don't look cute. Matter of fact, when I saw one of the grandbabies being born, when she hit it, she was purple. I said, oh, God. She ain't got no color. She what, is she all right? But the moment they cut her loose and she breathing oxygen, she began to change. And see, that's what's got to happen. When you birth that baby, you got to cut it off and let it breathe Jesus. How does it breathe Jesus? You teach it Jesus. You sing to the baby Jesus. You talk to the baby Jesus. You tell them about Jesus. You introduce them to Jesus. That's the first oxygen that what you have birthed out, that's the first oxygen that it needs. You don't need to run around, oh, look at my baby. Oh, look at my baby. Look what the Lord has called me to do. No. You cover that baby. When our children, they took the first one, the firstborn, the nurse said, talk to us. I don't know what to tell her. What am I supposed to tell her? You get that vision. You get that dream. You see what God has given you. And God says, talk to it, nurture it. And you're looking like, what? You call me to preach. You call me to prophesy. You call me to intercede. What? What do I do? How do I do this? First, wash it off. Clean it off. And then teach it Jesus. Take it to Jesus. And say, here, Lord, this is the baby you gave me. And God, I don't know what to do with this baby. I don't know how to raise this baby. I don't know what to give it. But here, God, I'm going to bring it to you. I'm going to bring it to the altar. And God, me and the baby. Don't bring the baby and leave the baby. You and the baby get on the altar and say, God, now you teach me how to teach this baby. You help me clean me. You clean me and I'll clean him. Because I don't know how to clean me. So if I don't know how to clean me, I don't know how to clean my baby. So God, if you teach me how to clean me, then that's going to teach me how to clean my baby. God, you got to get rid of the afterbirth, because if you don't, it's going to kill you. And see, as you stay on the altar, sometimes you may sit, sometimes you may kneel, sometimes you may lay. Oh, but God, I'm on the altar. And see, you got to understand that sometimes the afterbirth cleaning is not just a one time thing. Because a woman in the natural takes a few weeks to get it all out and to get it regulated. They'll tell you if you want it to go down, you got to push on your belly. And if you're going to bring that baby close and nurture it and breastfeed it, oh, you finna make it real bad now. Because you're going to feel like, Lord, am I in labor all over again? While I'm feeding the baby, I'm going to feel like I'm in labor all over again. This hurts, God. This is uncomfortable, God. God, I can't do this. God, I don't feel good doing this. My belly hurts. My belly hurts. What you say? My heart hurts because I've got this baby and I ain't got nobody to help me. I ain't got nobody to tell me what to do. And while I'm trying to feed the baby, I'm still being cleaned myself. What are you saying, preacher? This is not a one-time shot. It's a consistent release so that you can be clean. So that as you come and as you bring your baby to the Lord, y'all are growing. Y'all are growing. Y'all are growing. I don't care. You can have 5 babies. That 5th baby is not like the first one. Your body is at the 5th birth is not like it was at the first birth. I had 3 and all 3 of them was totally different. The first one fooled me. She was so easy. The second one, Lord Jesus, I told him, don't you ever give me no more trouble. He didn't want to come. He just, I ain't coming. And sometimes we got babies like that. We know we got them, but they ain't coming. Sometimes we done walked, we done talked, we done laid hands, we done all the remedies and it still won't come. Come on, we get in church, we done prayed, we done fasted, we done cried, we done quoted scriptures, we done declared it, we done tossed it up, back down and turned around and wrote it on a piece of paper, got in 10 prayer lines, and it's looked like, God, this ain't coming. What? I don't understand, Lord. I know what you told me, I saw it. I don't understand, how's this going to work? I don't see it. And when it finally, it shows up late sometimes. But it's really on time. But you still got to take it back to the altar. And then sometimes you get that baby that come when they want to come. Early. They like, I'm knocking on the door and I ain't quitting till I come out. Ain't that right? They looking like, you too many weeks early. But they come, and it all different. What are you saying? I'm about finished. I told you, we're going to hit it and quit it today. What are you saying? Sometimes you get visions. You get dreams. You hear the word of the Lord, and it seems like it may take forever to come. Sometimes it seems like it comes before you want it to come. It's not premature. That's the time it was supposed to come. It just looks premature. But see, even in this looking premature, you still got to feed it. You still got to take it to the altar. That's the one you really got to give special care, special attention. Why? Because that's a threat to the enemy. Some of you are feeling like, Lord, it's too early. I can't do this. No, that's because you are a threat to the enemy. And the Lord knew I got to get you here early because you're safer outside of the womb than you are in the womb. So he had to let you come early. And he had to fool the devil to make you think you had some issues. Okay, what you saying? You know you and your issues from the past. He said, I got to fool the devil to make them think that because of what they went through, because they're in their premature state, that they failed, they faltered. I put seeds in them that should not have been. But he said, but it was just a setup, because when I take them to the altar, I'm going to empty them out. And when I empty them out, they're going to be ready to go forward. So that premature thing, it was just a setup for what the Lord is really going to do. Scripture says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the things that God has for us laid up, he's got prepared for us. I'm telling you, get rid of the afterbirth. See, y'all thought we was going to be here all day. Get rid of the afterbirth. Go ahead and let God birth it out. I know it hurts. I know it's uncomfortable. The preacher told us last night, it's ugly, but it's necessary. Deliverance can be ugly, but it's necessary. Sometimes it gets real rough. Sometimes it gets tough. And you're looking like, I ain't gonna make it through this, God. But no, 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 no. Stay focused. Stay focused. I was watching Karate Kid when we got home last night. And Daniel's son, in the third one, he got anxious. Daniel's son was anxious because he was ready to win. He told, what's the man? Miyagi, Mr. Miyagi. He said, I can't do it. I can't do it. He said, just let him call the fight. I can't do it. He said, Daniel's son, focus. Focus. What are you saying? God is saying to some of us, focus. What I called you. get your eyes off of what you see and what you feel, but I need you to focus. Who are you focusing on? On God. I'm focusing on the Lord. Because God, I realize there's more with me than there is against me. And God, if I focus, I'm going to win the battle. That if I focus before I realize it, this baby going to come sliding right on out. Ooh. He was out there all by himself. You out there, you in the bed all by yourself. I don't care how many people is in the room hollering, push, push. But you the only one. No matter how much I hollered push in my girl's ears, they was the only one that could push. I had one tell mama, I can't do it, I can't do it. I said, well, if you don't do it, this baby gonna stay there, but really it's gonna come anyway. She had to find a second wind. Suck it up, boo, suck it up. Focus. I'm saying to you, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, focus. I'm your midwife, but I need you to focus. I'm going to help you get it, but I need you to focus. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to give you good instructions, but I need you to focus. Close your mouth and quit hollering. Quit screaming. Focus. Because it's coming, whether you want to or not. The gift that God has called you to, the gift that God has placed in you, it's going to come, really, whether you want it to or not. You mean, yeah, you might not do it like I'm doing it, well, but you're going to do it. Focus. 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 But God, I got so much going on around me. Focus. Focus. But God, it hurts. And no, you don't understand. You don't understand, Lord. What a focus. Focus. All of us have been in here and given birth. Even the men. You've given birth. How you say? You was in school. You had to pass your classes. In order to pass, you had to focus. Whether you cheated or not, you still, even if you cheated, you had to focus. You had to be skilled at cheating so you wouldn't get caught. Amen. Amen. See, y'all thought, y'all like, no, not yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. To get out of high school, you had to focus. You had to set your mind that I'm going to do this to get out. So we've all given birth. But it's time to go ahead and give birth in the spirit. Get rid of the afterbirth. Trust God. And watch God work. Watch God move. And you know what? It's so much easier when you focus, close your mouth, and do what God is telling you to do. You'll learn how to feed the baby, how to raise the baby. You'll learn how to grow yourself. Because see, it's a good thing to be able to grow with the baby. My first one, I cried. I said, Lord, I can't do this. The second one, I cried. Because they like a year and 10 days apart. But I heard somebody say, you can grow with them. And I was like, okay. Well, we're going to grow up together then. Because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing in ministry. When we started Word of Life. 25 years ago, I didn't know nothing about this baby, because this baby was brand new. We didn't get no manual. We didn't have no Dr. Spock book, what to do when you're expecting and what to do Now that you've got the church, this is what you do. We didn't get no book, How to Handle People. We didn't get no book that when folk tripping, what am I supposed to do? We didn't have no book that when your children go astray, what am I supposed to do? We didn't have that. I was working a full-time job. I was in school and a brand new ministry. Many a mornings, I had no midwife. I had no midwife. I would go to work, go in the cafeteria because the kids was go eat breakfast. And I sit on the bench and cry because I said, God, I can't do this. This ain't going to work. I'm about to tell somebody off. I'm telling them all, shut the door. I don't want to fool with y'all no more. But God knew that God Encounter 2019 was coming. And he had to keep me on the altar so that as the baby grew, I grew and I got cleaned and was able to clean the baby. Because see, what you first do sometimes ain't the right thing to do. And God will cover your baby and say, well, she don't know what she's doing. Let me help the baby out because if she ain't careful, she going to kill the baby. So God would cover us so that we didn't kill the baby. We had to keep cleaning the afterbirth, the cradle cap, the heat rash, the boo-boo stains, all up the back and all down the leg. And we had to clean. See, I told you, cleaning is not a one-time shot. We continuous cleaning. When you find out, oh, they can't have that milk because it makes them throw up. I had one, I guess it was acid reflux. They didn't know what it was back then, but I couldn't give them milk. I had to do a certain type of milk and give it to them a certain kind of way because if I didn't, it would strangle my pole musician. As much as he liked to eat, at first it had to be carefully given to him. Same thing with the church. We tried to give them stuff and it was killing them. And it's like, okay, pull off from that because they ain't ready for that. They choking on it, Pastor. They choking. What are you saying? Is that when God calls you or gives you an assignment and you sense and you know that you're birthing it out, don't be afraid to bring it to the altar so God can clean it. Find you a good midwife and a good altar worker that can help clean it off. Because see, everybody can't take regular soap. Some babies need some delicate soap. They got sensitive skin. You can't use all kind of detergents. They can't have all kind of milk. See, back in the day, you had Similac and Infamil, and then Similac, and then the Infamil was like the high stuff. You know, that was the special baby stuff, and you had maybe one more. But now they got thousands, Lord Jesus. And they gave you the kind that you had to add water to, so you had to make sure, because if you got the concentrate that was already done, you had a special baby. And what do you say? You got to find what works for your baby. The food that's going to work, that's going to help feed your baby. So that's why you need a good midwife. You need a good nutritionist. You need a good pastor. You need a good leader. You need a good mentor that will tell you, no, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't act like that. Oh, no, cover it up. Shh. Don't say nothing. Hold on. It ain't time yet to reveal this. You know, because, you know, back in the day, they told me you stay in the house for 6 weeks. That baby can't be around nobody. Don't you let everybody hold your baby. And everybody can't breathe over your baby. You got to protect the baby. Come on, I'm trying to help us. My first baby, I stayed in the house 6 weeks minus one day. I thought, God, I'm going to die in here. My grandma said, no, you can't go outside, baby. You got to stay in the house. I didn't mind because it was in January and it was cold, so I didn't really mind. But after a while, I was like, hey, can you watch that child? I need to go outdoors. And I got one even better. They would tell you had to sit in the dark. My grandma told me you got to sit in the dark, boo, after you had that baby. You need to sit in the dark for about a week or two or something like that. Yes. And I said, really? She said, yeah, that's what I did. And I said, why, grandma? She said, because, listen. She said, because the strain of your birth has caused your eyes to be strained. And the dark knows. I got a revelation just now. 30 some years ago later, I get a revelation. Because the strain on your eyes, the dark will help to regenerate, and it will give strength to your eyes. Because see, if I'm in the light, I'm trying to focus and I'm trying to see. But if I'm in the dark, I ain't got to focus on nothing, and it gives my eyes an opportunity to heal that I no longer see like I used to see. Oh, whoo. Some of y'all need to go in the dark after you give birth to your babies, because you don't need to see what you used to see. Because if you keep seeing what you used to see, you're going to equate it with the baby you got now. And if you're not careful, you're going to go blind and you're not going to be able to see where God is taking you. Whoo. Some of you need some real good blinders on. Quit looking at what you used to see and what people said and what you thought you were supposed to do. Close your eyes. Get in the dark. Get in a place with God so God can talk to you. So he can give you the direction that he wants you to have. So your eyes are strengthened so you can see spiritually what God is saying. God, no, that was good right there. Woo! But thankfully she didn't make me sit in the dark for a week or two. But you need somebody that's going to get in there with you. That when your baby gets sick and you look like, Lord, TFM ain't gonna live. God, I don't know if we're gonna make it. Cause I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready to quit this. I don't know what I'm doing. But then God will send somebody and say, oh, don't quit. The Lord sees you. The Lord knows what you're doing. He's got you. And you be like, come on, we're going to do this again. Come on, we're going to plan something else. Come on, we're going to do this. If it's just me and you, baby, we're going in. We're going to do this. If it's just me and you. Until God gets you to the point that you're no longer crawling. You're not stuck. And you know how they do. They look like, you got me, mommy? You got me, daddy? You're not stumbling. But he got you. Oh, you standing up now. Oh, you walking now. Oh, you got this? Come on, boo. Come on, boo. You got God standing. Come on, boo. Come on. But it's only after. You get rid of the afterbirth. Because if you don't get rid of it, it's going to kill you. Get rid of the afterbirth. Quit listening to people. Quit comparing war stories to your story. trust God for what he has called you to, for what he has assigned to your hands. And see, okay, now I'm going to my seat, okay. And see, when you give birth, you are giving birth to something that has never been before. Nobody has ever had your baby. Nobody. I don't care. There may be a whole lot like it. A whole lot of folks got ministries. A whole lot of folks got books. And a whole lot of folks that got businesses. And a whole lot of folks that's selling this. And a whole lot of folks that's selling that. But they ain't got what you got. Whole lot of folks selling paparazzi, but they don't sell it like you. Birth it all the way out. Whole lot of folks have written books, but they ain't wrote the book like you did. Where the other one at? They ain't wrote the book like you wrote. We got to pull it out. We got to pull it out. Whole lot of folks take care of their leaders, but don't take care of their leaders like you do. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. You do it like God told you to do it. Bring it to the altar and watch God grow it. Watch God grow it. Folk can't dance like you. Bring it to the altar and watch God grow it. Watch God do it. I'm telling you, y'all sitting in here with gifts, y'all got books, y'all got businesses. Can't nobody cook like Blessed and Flavored. And as I said that, I heard the Lord say, tell her, don't let it die either. I don't care how frustrated you get. I don't care how hard it may seem. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, tell Jessica, don't let it die. Don't let it die. Ooh. They can't cook like her. I've been looking for a chocolate cake. Couldn't find one since my grandma died. But Lord Jesus, Blessed and Flavor came along with a chocolate cake. Shondo. Hondo Shondo. Boy, I tell you. Woo! If you ain't never had nothing, all you need from them is chocolate cake and chicken salad. It'll bless your life all day long. Real good. She got some other stuff, but them just my favorites. Don't let it die. You keep praying. God will send you the help you need. God will send you what you need. He'll even send you into the kitchen that you can be able to cook like you need to cook. I decree that thing in the name of Jesus. Song said, I don't know how. I don't know when, but God gonna do it. I see it. I see it. An industrial kitchen sitting right before you. Watch what God do. Ah, yeah. Don't let it die. Don't let MHCC die. We're going to cover that in its infancy. Because God going to push it. God going to make it happen. God going to make it happen. Woo. He just had to clean the afterbirth off before he could birth the baby. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. God not finished. He not finished with you yet, Lady Williams. He ain't finished. Because even now you're wondering, Lord, I don't see it. How's this going to come to pass? I even heard you say, we got books and we got notebooks. And God said, you keep trusting him. It's got to come through this way. So when it comes through this way, they'll know it was me. It's going to be all me. He said, you just get ready. For when it comes to pass, you just be like, mm-hmm. You can be like, mm-hmm. And don't even say, I told you we couldn't. Watch God. Be encouraged, woman of God. Ooh, God got you. When you gonna get your own shop? Oh, okay. I know you're liking somewhat what you're doing, but when you gonna get your own shop? And you ain't got to have 10 chairs. If it's you and somebody else, because you got money in your hands. And he said, I want to pull it out because I want to bless you with you, with your own. Trust God. And see, God would tell us to do ridiculous things at times in our life, like, I don't think so, Lord. I don't know about that. But trust God. Even if it's a two-chair business. God said, trust him. You know, sometimes God won't allow us to have certain things because of where we're at. Sometimes we have to get out of a certain environment to get the thing that God would have for us.